Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you here with us, joining us for episode 119 of the pod. Hope you're having a wonderful day, whether you're listening to this after the fact in audio form, or if you're listening live in video form on Twitch or YouTube. Welcome in. Today we're doing the tier list ranking of different Force abilities. It's going to be a fun one today. Those of you watching live can join in and give your input as well. But before we get into all of that, I want to give you the quick reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout channel on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of every podcast, both in live form as well as available after the fact in a recorded version, and all of our reactions as they go live to the newest Star Wars shows. And as kind of a little bit of an update, we're less than 10. We're 9 away from the big 500 mark goal. So if you're not yet subscribed and you're a listener, definitely help us out, get a little closer to that 500 goal as we're inching closer and closer towards that. We'd appreciate it very much. You can also contact us via email with questions about anything Star Wars related at hothhangout@gmail.com. And the Hoth Hangout Podcast is, of course, available wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also allows it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those. As well, as I mentioned previously, we are streaming this not only on YouTube in live version, but also on Twitch in live version. Hoth Hangout there as well. So,
sorry about that.
No, you're fine. It was Star Wars themed.
It was Star Wars, like. Yeah. I was going on our Instagram real quick to check something.
There you go. There's a plug for the Hoth Hangout Instagram right there.
That's right, yeah. Perfect timing.
Yeah. Hoth Hangout Discord link is also in the show notes of today's episode as well. Joey, what is going on? How are things in the world of Hoth Hangout Instagram and just in the world of Joey?
Pretty good. I mean, you know, we're going to give a little update here in a minute of all the things that we've been doing here on Hoth Hangout. A lot of the updates, especially on the YouTube side of things. But we've been picking up some steam the past couple weeks, so and a lot of it is thanks to you and the work that you've been doing on some of these videos. And of course, every other week we have these podcast episodes. So yeah, I'm excited to see where we're headed here. I came down with a little bit of a cold. So if you see me grabbing for a Kleenex or sneezing here and there, just excuse me in advance. Sorry about all that. But yeah, well, we're here to do a tier list of our favorite Force abilities in Star Wars. Something that we kind of just randomly came up with. And I love how our podcast episodes come to life. We always just say, like, at the end of every episode, you know, we do like a little bit of a post-production meeting. And we're just like, what do you want to do next time? We're like, oh, I don't know. Let's just do something. We'll figure something out. And then randomly I'll have an idea pop in my head, like while I'm like almost half asleep and I got to write it down or, and then we mention it. So yeah, this might be a pretty fun one. So if anybody in chats want to let us know what you think of some of these Force abilities, where you think that they'll be in the tier list. It's going to be a fun one, I think.
As a bit of a foretaste, there's at least one on here that I read it and I was like, what in the heck does that mean? I had to look it up.
Yep, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Before we get into our tier list that we'll be making today of different Force abilities, want to give two quick channel updates that kind of just alluded to during the intro a bit as well, but just mention that here at this point as well that all of our reactions to the Andor Season 2 episodes are now available to watch on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. Definitely check those out. That was just a great show, and just because of life and busyness, our reactions didn't go out right when we were watching the show, even though the recording of the reactions is from when the show was releasing. But have no fear, don't fret. They are now available to watch all 12 of the Season 2 episodes of Andor, available, as I said, on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. we had lots of great comments from viewers during those reactions as well. And thank you to those of you who left comments on our Andor season two reactions. And actually, I realized in my going over Andor season two just now that I skipped over our other piece of thing that I was going to mention first, but I'll mention it second now. The Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past trailer, what we recently reacted to, I believe last week. That reaction video is also available on YouTube to watch. I believe it's about 6 minutes or so. And we are officially 1 month from today, from the release of this show, the second season of this show, Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past, as they're going with the second season name. So check all that out on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. And again, if you're not yet subscribed, we're inching closer towards that 500. So we'd appreciate it very much if you hit the subscribe button if you're interested in checking those out. Okay, having said that, we're hopping into our rankings of different Star Wars Force abilities. Now, let's lay some ground rules for how we're ranking these. First of all, we're going to be using kind of like a traditional, typical tier list ranking system, S, A, B, C, D. Are we ranking this strictly on coolness? Like, because I think it can be different for every person, right? Right. Is it about coolness? Is it about its impact in the plot of when it was used? How do you assess what is S versus what is D?
I mean, I think the... I think if I had to weight how we want to grade these, I would say a good portion of it would be the importance that it is, not only to like the story, but you know, to be a Force user. I think that's probably how important is it to have this particular skill or this ability, and then the remainder of that waiting would be for how cool is actually that, and it depends if it's something, if there's something that's like, okay, maybe it's not important to have, but man, that's a cool thing. Then I think we're okay. So I think we have to be a little bit flexible on how we determine that. And I think if we just kind of talk each of these out, we'll come to that balance to figure out exactly what the, essentialness of it is compared to how cool it is to actually see it in use.
Right. So kind of basically just a balance then, like between cool factor and also the essentialness of the Force ability.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, like I said, we've got five tiers, S, A, B, C, D. We've got in total, I believe, 20 different Force abilities here. As we're going through these, we may also make mention of when they first appeared on screen or notable people who used this Force ability. And then for maybe one or two or three of them, we'll have kind of a description of what it is because it's not obvious from the name. However, like ones like Force Lightning, obviously, that's kind of
right.
Obvious what that is. Should we just go in alphabetical order or I guess from left to right, or how should we do this, I think?
Yeah, let's just do it right from where we see it on the screen here. I think that's probably probably best. We did curate the list in a way where we think it'd be best discussed.
Right. Well, the first one we've got is Animal Bond.
Wait, no, I mean on the screen, I mean not on the
on the screen, yeah. Not on the tier list.
Not on the notes, sorry. That's what
I'm with you now. Okay, well in that case the first one we have is Force Pull.
Which
makes a whole lot more sense.
Yeah.
Force Pull. Obviously you can infer what this is from the name of it. Force Pull, if you were curious, first debuted in The Empire Strikes Back, when Luke is calling his lightsaber to him. I believe this is referencing the scene on Hoth when he's hanging upside down.
Imagine that being the first one we talk about. Really weird.
I know, right? I feel like Force Pull is a valuable Force ability. It doesn't have a lot of like wow factor, but it's kind of like an essential thing, I think, in pretty much every Star Wars film, with the exception of New Hope. I don't know. I don't have like a I think once we get three or four of these on the board, I'll have a better understanding of where something falls. My gut is telling me like slightly above average, but what are you thinking here?
Yeah, I'm thinking of, you know, you and I are basketball fans, right? So there's this thing called fundamentals, right? That every basketball player should have, like dribbling, passing, bounce passes, just the general idea of how offenses and defenses work. So I think force, pull, and a couple of these other ones is the fundamentals of actually being a force user. That would be probably one of the first things that I'd do if I determined that I was force sensitive. Like if my drink was a little too far, do one of these and then snap it, get it, or the remote control or my phone, whatever. Yeah, I think it's definitely an essential. But because of that, not a ton of wow factor, but also important, to be a force sensitive user. I mean, I'd throw it like somewhere like right in the middle, like a B, high B, somewhere around there. But to at least start, I wouldn't put it anywhere higher than that, though.
Yeah, I'm good with starting with this on the B tier. And that also kind of like gives us a starting point to go either up or down from the middle. And we reserve the right to maybe move these around a little bit at the end, which is probably what we will end up doing more than likely. But
right.
Okay, force pull is going in the B tier. Force barrier. Now, this is one that we definitely don't see as much as force pull. But the notes we have here describing what is probably what I would think the most well-known occurrence of this, when Kanan in the show Rebels, apologies to those of you that aren't animated Star Wars fans, and also you should watch Rebels, when Kanan is shielding Ezra from the explosion, and I think the statute of limitations has expired on the outcome of that scene, but you might infer what happens, that Kanan in fact does make a sacrifice in that scene. And so he creates 07s. That barrier, 07s for Kanan, does create that barrier, saving Ezra. I feel like for this one, I place a lot of emotional weight on that scene, because when I think about this ability, I do think about that scene.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that is more... I guess it does somewhat fall in the same category as force pull, of it being like a not really an offensively minded thing, but something that is intended to be kind of an essential in times of crisis, perhaps. Just the cool factor of this feels a little bit bigger for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaning between an A and a B right now. Where are you at with this one?
For the same reasons, I would put it probably at an A, because in the instances that we've seen it used, as you mentioned, we have Kanan sacrificing himself for the rest of the crew there. I believe we also see Grogu use it in The Mandalorian when he's mm-hmm. protecting himself. And was it Bo-Katan and Mando? Was that who he was protecting? I don't remember,
I believe so.
from like all the fire. So I think the how important it is, because it is, you're using the force to help save others, because it's literally a shield, and you're able to stop, any harming factors from hitting them. And so I it's a little bit more, is it valiant? Is that the word I'm looking for? A little bit more like, it shows more character in the person that's using it, that in the instances that we've seen it, So for that reason, I'd put it at A, just because sure, maybe other people everyone does have this fundamental, but I feel like, the instances that we've seen it used have been more important than just like a force pull.
Yeah, I'm good with putting that one on the A. I think I like that spot. Next up, the next two are actually pretty similar. We've got force choke and force crush. My question about the difference in these two, if I'm a Sith Lord, am I doing something different mentally when I'm force choking something versus when I'm force crushing something? Like, is the mental mechanism different as a Sith?
I mean, you know, if it's like, you know, if we're getting get down to nitty gritty here, if a choke is like a literally like a throat, you know, whatever. So, but if it's a crush, I mean, it's a building, it's a ship, it's a, you know, so maybe the mental capacity is different as far as how much, and I don't know if this works. I'm thinking of like Star Wars games where there's like a force meter, you know, like you have a finite amount of like force ability, whatever. Assuming that that's how it works, you know, force choking doesn't seem like that difficult compared to like crushing a ship or something. So I would say it's probably close to the same. It looks the same because they're kind of doing the same, you know, hand motion for it. But so possibly, but with the caveat that, you know, crush might be a much larger object.
Right.
Requiring more force ability.
Right, right. I was going to say, in that same light, I would argue force crush is more impressive, but force choke is more iconic. Like it, when you think Vader, it's kind of like what you think of being like his main force ability. And so like how much weight does that play? I would say force crush is easily at least A tier. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I've given the tier first both these times, and I don't want to influence it too much. I'm curious where you think these should go in terms of their letter.
I would say force crush, impressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Force choke, most impressive. Ah, you see what I did? So I would say force crush, I would put it A, and because of the iconic nature of force choke, I would put that in S.
Yeah, I think I'm inclined to say the same thing, too.
Yeah.
Most impressive. I like that. Do you like Force Crush above or below Force Barrier?
I feel like those two would like almost be interchangeable depending on how you feel in that day, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's fine this way if it's fine the other way, you know? But I would be fine like leaving it at this.
If you think about it, like force crush is to force barrier as force push is to force pull. They kind of feel like opposites. You know what I mean?
Yes, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm okay with them being right next to each other on the A tier. Next one is a controversial one.
Yeah.
Only because I think we've only seen this twice, as far as I can recall, at least in live action.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is in Rise of Skywalker with Rey, and the other one is in The Mandalorian when Grogu heals Greef Karga.
Yes.
I feel like for the sake of the fairness of this tier list, we should probably remove how we feel. I'm saying this to the people commenting right now. I think we should remove how we feel about their inclusion into the plot of this show or that movie, only because it would be very easy for me to like say, well, force healing is D tier because it happened in my least favorite movie.
Sure.
But I feel like we should just take it for what it is and just kind of treat it in that way.
Yeah, and by the way, we will leave the tier list link in the show notes, so you could you can come up with your own tier list, and you know even create a level below D if you want, throw it in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, force healing. I feel like this as an ability. If you're taking aside the fact that it just kind of felt like what you can do that now as an ability. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a tendency to put more bias on the ones that can literally, like, save a life almost.
Yeah.
Like, if someone's mortally wounded, you can just force heal them. I mean, that's pretty strong. Right. I don't know. Where are you leaning with this one? I'm having a hard time with this one, maybe because of my bias against Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, I remember when the first time we had seen it, I believe, and somebody could fact check me on this one, I want to say we actually did see it in The Mandalorian first before we saw it in Rise of Skywalker by release date, I guess I should say. And I want to say it was like either a couple of weeks or a month before Rise of Skywalker came out that we saw Grogu do that to Greef Karga. So there's that. There's you know, one thing. But again, the first time we had seen it ever with it, you know, was in what? When was it all released? 2019? Was that the last... Was that when Rise of Skywalker came out?
It might have been on the same day, Joey.
Yeah.
This episode came out on December 18th of 2019.
Okay.
And I think Rise of Skywalker came out that same day.
Yeah.
December 20th. So you're right. It did happen.
Yeah.
Technically before in Mando.
Technically right before. Wow,
movie.
Funny how your mind like like throws like, oh yeah, it was like a week, 2 days. It was literally days before that. So I remember seeing that. This is why I remember that. Because I remember seeing that in Mandalorian and thinking, oh, never seen that before. That's kind of cool. At least in live action, like you said. And the next day or the next couple of days, you see Rise of Skywalker. And I'm like, oh wait, I just saw that. Apparently this is a thing now. That, you know, that they want to move forward with. So I think it was, you know, an interesting way to really throw that in, you know, everyone's face. Like, by the way, we can heal, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I mean, it's very video game-esque. You know, you and I like our video games. And so, you know, you could just heal whenever you want. Is that what you're saying? You know, like, maybe that's how everyone can get impaled by a lightsaber in the middle of their chest and and get healed, because that's essentially what happened to Kylo in Rise of Skywalker when Rey was stabbed him and essentially just, you know, fixed him up, healed him up right after that, you know. So I think it's a pretty big power to wield, because on the other side of it, and think of it this, you could choose not to save someone. You know what I mean? Like that's, you know, you have that power. If you literally have the power to be able to either save or not save somebody, you know, that's what that is, right? Yeah. And essentially, isn't that what Kylo does to Rey at the end of the movie too? You know, like he does like his thing when she is apparently dead. And then kind of gives his life force. I think that's what they're, you know, what they use for that. And I guess the ability to do that, you would assume would be a very strong force sensitive user, right? Is to be able to give life force. That seems like a pretty big thing to be able to pull off. Where they learn it, I have no idea. You know, I don't know. I think there's YouTube out in space there, so you could learn that. But so I think that this is a pretty big one. It's hard because in that same thought that you had, because of where it is in the timeline of Star Wars, I'm like, because it's so new. Maybe that's why. It's just so new that I can't be like, oh, that's incredible compared to like Force Choke. You know, maybe ask me in like 10 years if I think it's, you know, more impressive. But I think at very least, because of its power, I'd put it at A. No lower than A.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree.
We could use our biases to like place it where it is in A, but you know, at least we put it in
right.
A. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I'm good with that, putting it on A. I'm looking ahead at the list and I'm like, man, I don't know how many of these I would actually have on the D tier. And so then my mind went to, if I had to put one of these on the D tier, what would it be? Or even the C tier. Because I'm thinking like, man, a lot of these are cool. And I'm looking at our next one, Animal Bond. And I'm thinking, I personally think that's cool. But I don't know how much of like a practical thing that is necessarily. Is C too low for this, you think?
No, I mean, you know, for discussion's sake, we can't have everything be exactly the same, right? So there's going to be some, even if we were to say like B tier, it would be all the way at the end of B tier. And then, I mean, you might as well put the C at that point. You know what I mean? Like, I would agree that probably D would be empty by the end of this. But I think just for the discussion itself, you know, probably one of the weaker ones would be the animal bond, because, you know, like you said, how practical is it? How often is it used? I think it's super cool. I would love to know what, like, animals are thinking. You know, I always think about that, you know? Like, I see, like, these dogs that always are walking by, you know, I'm like, I wonder what they're thinking, you know? So I would put this in C. I'd be fine with putting it in C just because of that. Although, a cool thing, I think that's, like, the fundamental of fundamental. Like, this is a basketball. You know what I mean? Like, that's just seems like... but it really does. What is interesting about this one is that it doesn't seem like everyone really has this ability. It seems like there's only a couple that really do.
Right.
So because of that, does it, you know, because of the rarity, does it make it more impressive? Or is it just like, okay, it's something that every other, like, you know, 50 to 100 force sensitive users have, and that's just what it is. And unfortunately, it's not like the super cool thing, but it is a little bit rare.
And the instance of it that you see in the image, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, is Ezra taming what I believe is called a Fearnok in Rebels. And as far as I know, at least, are only two noted mentions of this in live action. The other one is Rey, and I think it takes place in that scene. Yeah. Of Rise of Skywalker, where they're in underground and that worm thing comes. And I think that's actually technically a force heal scene too, because she heals the worm. So I mean, if I have to start putting things under what we already have on here, I'm good with C for animal bond though.
Right.
I think it's cool, personally.
Gibbo says Grogu has done it as well.
I'm trying to remember when. He puts his hand on the nose of the, I don't know the name of the creature. I'm not going to remember it. But yeah, that scene, that iconic scene where he's putting his hand on the nose of the animal.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember.
But yeah, animal bond on C does sound good. The next one after animal bond is also one of those instances of something being relatively new in the live action stuff. And notably something that people, a particular group of Star Wars fans, were incredibly frustrated with the way that Luke's character was handled in Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. Because following his use of the ability Force Projection to, you know, make himself appear, quote unquote, in physical form to fight Kylo, I guess, like, that amount of exertion in the Force just kind of killed him. Mm-hmm. A side note, I don't know if you had anyone in your theater when you went to see Last Jedi who did this, but I had someone in my theater who actively yelled the word "what?" like loud.
yeah.
When it happened.
Right.
I think the ability itself is super cool. I mean, to make yourself appear in physical form on a different planet where you're not. I mean, that takes a lot of strength in the Force. Because of, like, the connection with the plot of the film that it does occur in, it is hard to put this as high as just the ability itself probably should be. I mean, this one kind of falls in the same plane of the Force healing conversation we had, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It seems like an ability that would come from someone who is so strong in the Force, but it's associated with a scene in a film that people often hold not in the best light. Mm-hmm. Do you think
would you put it in A, just alongside Force healing then, because of that same argument?
I think wherever you put Force healing, you probably also have to put Force projection. Mm-hmm. Because I think just in terms of scale of the I don't want to use the word power, but like strength in the Force that ability requires, like, right. Force healing, literally saving someone from death by healing their wound, Force projection, literally making yourself physically present on a different planet. Like, mm-hmm. those are massive things to do. So I think they both have to go in the same tier. The question is, what tier? Do we leave it in the A tier with Force mm-hmm. healing, or do we move both of them to a different tier?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I think for now, we pair them together in A because of kind of what we said, with the possibility of maybe moving it down to B just to, so I think we call that maybe an asterisk. You know, we'll review upon further evidence.
We could put like an extra tier in our minds that's just like the tier of like really cool things that happen in films that are not generally as well received by Star Wars
fans. Right. That'd be a very long tier name. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. what do we got next? Force jump or leap? I think this is pretty cool.
I think it's pretty cool. Yeah.
I would easily make the case that this is cooler than force pull. I don't know. Would you?
I mean, yeah, I would love if I could, you know, that's why I didn't get my NBA career. If I had some force leap going on, force jump, I think I'd be all good. So yeah, I'd put that above force pull, probably on B, because I think these, you know, a couple of these, like we mentioned, are just the essentials, the basics of being a force user.
Yeah, I'm good with now. Would you put it? You think? Would you put it at the top of B? You said.
I would put it at the top of B.
Okay, yeah. I think I like that spot. Force lightning. Ooh. This is like one of the most iconic. It's from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
It's a power that's wielded by the big bad ultimate evil of the original trilogy. And Emperor Palpatine. You see it again in the prequel trilogy with Count Dooku. I guess you see it again in the sequel trilogy with Palpatine again. Somehow. Haha.
Somehow.
I feel like Force Lightning is right on par with the iconicness of Force Choke. And I would even make the case it is a cooler ability than Force Choke. Like, I know Force Choke is associated with Vader. And it appears in the films prior to Force Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about shooting lightning out of your hands that just feels cooler. It feels like it's one of the coolest. I mean, I'm inclined to put this on the S tier. How are you feeling about Force Lightning?
I would agree, too. I'm feeling a little worried that we're both, you know, putting the dark side force user force powers like above. Actually, I'm not worried that you are. I'm worried that I am, you know. So yeah, I would put it above Force Choke on S. Again, the iconicness. Iconicness, is that a word? Iconic it is in the Star Wars universe. Because when you see it, you're like, oh, we're in trouble. Like it's like one of those things, you know, if you see somebody wielding Force Lightning, you're like, we got to run. This is not a good place to be, you know?
Yeah.
And even the use of it in Rise of Skywalker, when Rey actually wielded it on the ships that we thought was Chewbacca's ship, for those who remember that scene. I thought that was just a really cool way to kind of show, you know, where she was, you know, on the side of the Force, you know? So I thought it was clever use there. Even though, like we said, I know Rise of Skywalker, but I thought it was one of the highlights for me in that movie was actually that scene. So, but yeah, Force Lightning, top of S. Just like I said, the big bad Force user be used in that. So, you know, you're in some trouble. You cross this to the other side of the street if you see that guy.
Yeah, I'm good with this on the S tier. Next one is interesting because I think, as far as I'm aware, we only actually see it one time in the live-action films, in The Phantom Menace, and that's Force Speed. And it's a very subtle moment. Like, there's not, like, an overt call to the fact that they're actually using Force Speed. Mm-hmm. And it's the scene at the very beginning of Phantom Menace where Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are walking down the hall, and there's the destroyers that have their, you know, little shield bubbles that pop up, and they're deflecting the blasters, and then they run down the hall. And I remember watching that film for the first time, and I was like, did something just mess up with the movie? Why did they run away so fast, you know?
Right.
But that's the moment when they use Force Speed. And I think just thinking about it as an ability on its own, devoid from the context in the movies, imagine being able to use the Force to run that fast. I mean, it seems kind of cool, you know?
Right. Yeah, I want to say maybe in animated and Clone Wars we had seen it also, but because it's animated, you don't really think about speed in real time. You just think, okay, this is just an animated, you know, show, and they're just running faster because they're animated. But I think maybe we have seen it in that, and that's why it's you could easily miss it. So, you know, you could miss it easily in animated. But I mean, like you said, when you see it in live action, you're like, oh, I see what's happening. They're using the Force to run faster, you know. So I think it's a pretty cool one. I mean, you could obviously avoid certain things or run towards the fight or what have you. So I think it's an important, again, essential skill. I'm assuming this is something that can be used by many Force-sensitive users. As far as it being cool, like you said, I think it would just be a cool thing to have. You ever like go, you know, ask your friends or have your friends ask you, like, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? You know, like, I don't think anyone's going to be picking, you know, the fastest guy, you know, like the be able to run real fast. But if, you know, if it's like a draft of like things like invisibility or being able to teleport. And then maybe like you're the 18th pick and you're like, well, I guess I'll be the guy that runs fast. You know what I mean? Like the Flash, I guess that'll be me, you know? So maybe that's where I would put it too. Probably I would put it at B, towards the bottom of B, because although it is useful, I think something like a Force pull would be more useful.
Yeah. I was thinking B as well. So I'm good with that placement. The next one, you were speaking a lot about fundamentals earlier. I mean, this is like, I'm thinking of like Jedi Padawans in the temple with a blindfold on, right, blocking those little blasters with our next one, which is Force reflexes, which ironically in our show notes, it kind of has a column saying like where you see it in the movies or in the TV shows. And in the column for this one, it just says most Jedi and Sith.
Yeah.
So basically, like, everyone who is Force sensitive has quote unquote Force reflexes, and it's not really something that you like think about as a Force ability necessarily, even though it is technically. It doesn't necessarily have like a wow factor deflecting,
right,
like a blaster bullet or anything like that. I don't know. I mean, this for me is kind of like, do you rank it slightly higher because of its fundamentalness, or right, is the fact that it's just kind of everyone who's Force sensitive does it, so then do you just put it on the D tier, or how do you factor that?
That's a good point. I mean, yeah, because, you know, I think we mentioned earlier about how rare like something like Animal Bond is, with what we've seen anyway, and that's setting at the C tier. But here's something that is, you know, according to this particular list, and you know, if you have the Force, if you are Force sensitive, you do kind of have these Force reflexes by, you know, by association or whatever. Like that's like the first step that you notice, like, oh, I have Force reflexes, you know. So because of that, I mean, I would probably be, I mean, for the sake of this discussion, I think I would put it at D. Because of that, you know, if we're doing all the Force abilities that we have in this list, something that is literally has everyone, you know, everyone from little Anakin to Darth Vader, you know, kind of all have, I guess Anakin's a bad example because he's like really strong, but you know, like any random Padawan to Darth Vader kind of have these reflexes, maybe certain, you know, levels of it, sure. But you kind of assume everyone has it. So as ability itself, you're just like, okay, I guess that's just what you get. So I would be fine putting it at D just for the sake of this discussion, especially.
Yeah. So also because D is probably going to be our most sparse tier. I think something has to go on D tier. I could see maybe one more of these going on the D tier, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. I think that brings us to No, we're definitely over halfway now. That's 11 out of 20. Okay, we got 9 more here. Next up is Force Push. Okay, how do you feel about this? I'm curious. I want to know if you think Force Pull or Force Push is a cooler ability. Because I think this one has to go near Force Pull.
Sure.
I am inclined to say one over the other. And also, I would pose this to those of you listening or watching live. Which is the cooler ability, Force Pull or Force Push? What would you say, Joey?
I mean, I would agree you'd have to put them pretty close to each other on the tier list. Force Push, I mean, you know, that's more of a escaping, you're trying to escape something. You know, that's kind of how I put it. Or if you know, if you're battling with other Jedis or other Sith on your side, you could like push an enemy towards them and then they take care of them. That's kind of cool too. But and it doesn't have to be enemies. It could be just like any items, you know. So, I mean, I'm kind of indifferent really between the two. I would say they're pretty much equal in my eyes. So what's your thoughts on, you know, why one is cooler than the other?
It is strictly because of Star Wars Battlefront 2005.
Okay.
the Force Pull ability, you could get them close to you and then you hit them with your lightsaber. The Force Push ability, you had to push them and then you had to go like track them down and then hit them with your lightsaber.
Okay.
So the Force Pull ability is like, okay, I've brought him to me and now like I can battle him. So
that's more of an offensive tactic.
It's more of an offensive tactic, and I'm totally biased because of one game that I played when I was 10 years old. but I would say Force Pull over Force Push for me personally.
Okay, but still in the B tier though?
Yeah, still in the B tier. Yeah.
Okay.
Next up is Force Sense. Now this is also kind of an interesting one because it's kind of similar to Force Reflexes in that maybe not to the same extent of that everyone has that, but it's not really something noticeable on screen that's happening per se. Like the most iconic example of this is Obi-Wan, Sir Alec Guinness in the original Star Wars movie, where when Alderaan is blown up, he has this moment where he's like, you know, millions of voices crying out, you know, suddenly. So it's iconic in the sense that it's something you see in the original film. Although it is kind of one of those things that's like, is that something that only Jedi or Sith strong in the Force have? Or is that something that to some extent everyone has Force sense? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. You know, I'm thinking about that scene within A New Hope in Alderaan, and I'm thinking of Yoda also during Order 66. I think that's when he senses it too. When he senses that there is something happening, there's a shift in the Force or whatever. So, because it's something you can't really see, right? The coolness factor does go down a little bit, you know. But if you really think about it, the idea of it is actually really cool. You know, that kind of like this universe connected by the Force, you're able to sense those shifts. You could sense those changes that lead you to, you know, these types of, you know, thoughts. So I guess in the how powerful it is, I think it's actually pretty powerful because it gives you it proves that you know you have a greater knowledge in the Force. So, how to interpret it, those types of shifts, those types of changes. So because of that, I mean, I would be, I could argue that being something in the B and possibly low A area, just based on the knowledge of the Force, I think that's probably why I would put it there.
Okay. I like the idea of B only because in my mind, I was trying to almost convince myself of the C tier argument, which I don't know if it's there or not. But yeah. The fact that you mentioned A tier and the fact that I was kind of like teetering on C, do you feel like putting it in B is a good kind of in-between place for this?
Yeah, that would. Yeah, I mean, if it was a Hoth Hangout tier list, I think that I would agree that that would be B would be a fair compromise.
Okay. How do you feel about sticking it at the end of B, and then at the end we can shift some stuff if we need to?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What do we got next? Force stasis. This is one we don't see a ton. The most notable and well-known example of this is in, I think, like the first 5 minutes of The Force Awakens, where Kylo, it's the first time we meet Kylo Ren, and he's shot at a blaster bullet, and he stops it and freezes it in midair. Also, a notable time when this occurs is in Rebels, when Kanan freezes a blaster bullet as well. This is pretty cool. I think that the optics of this are certainly pretty neat. Maybe not on like the optics level of Force Lightning, but it is, I think, visually pretty stunning. Doesn't have kind of the iconicness of some of these others on the list, though. I'm honestly not sure where I would put this one. I mean, B is feeling good, but I could be convinced of a different tier, perhaps. What do you think?
I think it's, again, how you said it was perfect. The optics of it is real, real cool. I remember when I watched that Force Awakens in the theater, when he did that, I'm like, that's pretty cool, because not only did he do it with his hand, if you remember, he walked away and it was still there. So that was pretty epic the way they pulled that off. And then finally, at the end of it, when you actually kind of forgot that blaster fire was kind of in the midair, he walks onto a ship and then it finally, you know, hits its destination or whatever. So given that, I mean, that was just a real cool scene, especially because we hadn't seen that in any other Star Wars. Possibly Rebel. I don't know when the Rebels one came out before that or not, but to memory, at least in live action, that was the first time you had seen that. So I just wanted to give that an epic, like, okay, that was definitely nice. I would still probably put it, I would probably put that in B just because of how cool it was. Cause I really think they pulled it off really nice. Although we may have not seen it like as often as other things. I think putting it in B, and I would put it in like middle higher B too, just for that. Although, you know, it sounds like maybe you might have a different thought on that.
In other words, like putting it slightly lower than where you mentioned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm okay with mid B, like maybe between like Force Push and Force Speed. Even what do you think?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the top of the podcast, I alluded to the one where when I saw the name, I was like, I have no clue what that is. Tuta Minis is how I'm going to go with. Probably a mispronunciation. But effectively, what that is, after consulting Star Wars Wiki, is essentially energy absorption. And the time that you most commonly see this in the films is, I think Yoda does it in both episode 2 and episode 3, actually, when he absorbs the lightning from Count Dooku in Attack of the Clones, and then absorbs the lightning from Sidious in Revenge of the Sith. I think even like Rey technically does this in Rise of Skywalker, but for me, I think of Yoda when I think of this ability. I think this is really cool. I think it's like the antithesis of Force Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is the Jedi's way of defending oneself from the opposition and the attacking of the Force Lightning. It's the counter to it, so to speak. I think I'm biased because of the optics in particular. The idea of being able to absorb like a Force ability that we have on the S tier, largely because of its iconicness, but something we have on the S tier, you another force ability to just absorb it just like that. Yeah. To me, that feels really cool. I don't know if I would go quite as high to say this is S tier, but I like the idea of putting it on A, but maybe that's too high. What do you think?
I think I would, for that same reason, I think I would put it at least on A. I'd have to like look at what's on there to see where it lands. But yeah, it's like you said, it is quite literally the defense of Force Lightning. So to have it anywhere too far away from Force Lightning seems wrong. So I would put it on A. I would probably put it, anywhere from the middle, probably in the middle. I'd probably just put it a smack dab in the middle between Force Crush and Force Healing. Because the Force Barrier, Force Crush, I still think are pretty important and epic. Although this one is as well. I don't want to say the word because I'm going to just butcher it. But the just be able to absorb that, I think, is a great defense to a Force Lightning. But I still think something like Force Barrier is being able to, like, you know, shield a ton of people from danger. Force Crush is to, like, cause devastation in that. And then, you know, this Tutaminous or whatever it is, to have it kind of just do a single, like, I'm grabbing all this energy, you know. Feels very Souls-like. Do you ever play Souls games?
No, but I'm familiar with them.
Yeah.
Wow, we've only got five more here. There's actually two of these that feel kind of similar to one that's already on our list.
Mm-hmm.
Our next two, which are Precognition Visions and Psychometry, are in the same grounds as Force Sense for me. And I guess the way I'm seeing that is, it seems like Force Sense is the conscious version of what Precognition Visions might be, the unconscious or even subconscious version. Like it takes place in a vision or a dream rather than being in a fully awake state, I should say, recognizing that, you know, there's been a disturbance in the Force. Maybe it happens in this way, in a precognition, in the form of a dream or a vision. So, and I'll get to psychometry in a second. Let's maybe just stick with precognition for a sec. Is that cooler, the same, or not as cool as just Force Sensing?
I think that it is probably cooler. I think because
I think so too.
I think it's cooler. And if I have to look at the our list here of when we see it, I mean, Luke's vision of Han and Leia in danger, that's when he's on Dagobah, trying to figure out, you know, he's getting the training and then he senses that. Now, they don't really say what he sees. I don't think he just knows they're in danger, right?
Right.
Or that he's going to. I think they're going to be in danger, not even that they are at that point, right?
Right,
so it's more of like a future, you know, being able to tell the future almost. So I think the precognition, right, and the visions. So I think because of that, you know, and like you said with Anakin, I think that those can lead down paths that could be dangerous. You know, they always say don't mess with that. You know, these are your visions. But that's what's going to happen, you know. And sure enough, in both instances, that's kind of what happens. So I would agree that it's cooler than Force Sense. I think, you know, if we're going to go up the B tier, I think it's cooler than Force Speed. I think it's cooler than Force Stasis. I mean, I could put that at top of B, honestly.
I'm curious about one thing you said before we place it. In the main two instances that we think about of this being used as a Force ability in the movies, with Luke, you know, going to rescue Han and Leia, and with Anakin, both with his mother and with Padme, right? In all three of those instances, Luke loses his hand, Anakin's mother dies, and Padme, he kills Padme, basically. So it, does that have any weight? That, like, the every time you we see this ability used, even though it's kind of passively being used, like, not intentionally, I should say, that it, it results in bad circumstances, it kind of seems like.
Yeah, and I think because of that, you know, those move the story along in certain ways. So the use of it in these instances make them pretty great. So... Yeah, so I stand by, at very least, top of B.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I like top of B. Just basically what you're saying is even though their outcomes led to negative circumstances, their role that they played, whether in the movie or in the plot of the movie, like, deserves that spot, essentially.
Right.
Okay, I like that. And now also psychometry, which... As I understand it, psychometry is basically touching an object and then having sort of a force vision that's almost like ingrained into the object itself. I think of like maybe a Sith holocron, or I know with the sequel trilogy, Rey touching Anakin's lightsaber, for example. How does this factor in to... like precognition visions versus force sense? Where does psychometry fall?
Oh, I mean, I think that's a pretty useful skill. I think in itself it's pretty useful because you just need to have some type of artifact from... I mean, think about like... my wife watches a lot of like true crime series. So imagine if, you know, you had the evidence... and all you needed to do was pick it up and you knew exactly what happened. So I think about that. I think about what's that one detective show, Monk, like how he kind of like walks through everything. He's able to figure things out. You know, maybe he doesn't use psychometry, but I think just, you know, having that ability, I think is actually pretty cool, pretty useful, especially, you know, when I feel like the Jedi or the Sith, they're always trying to look for each other. So if you're able to find anything that's owned by them, that they touched, a robe, maybe some fruit that they ate, I don't know, like you'd be able to, like, you know, figure things out a little bit easier. So I think that's a pretty good ability. Probably, again, on the B tier. I'm not sure. I could be talked to where on the B tier. Because of we don't really see it that often, I could see it also on the C tier. Just because we just don't, you know, from my knowledge, I know we've seen it there on with Rey, but I know there's also books that have used it too. So I know it is something that has been used in the past, other abilities. But I could be talked to B or C, to be honest.
I'm, because this doesn't feel like an active thing, maybe like a vision or even force sense. Like if you were trying to sense something, like touching an object, to me doesn't feel like the first, I don't know. I almost want to put this top of C.
Okay.
is that too low, you think?
No, I think that'd be fine. I said, like, I think it's because maybe because it's a cool thing, that doesn't mean it's, you know, always going to be used, or maybe we just haven't seen it used enough. But, you know, there are some times when I wonder if, like, there are times when, you know, in video games, again, when you have an ability, a power that's a little bit too powerful or a little bit too, that makes things a little bit too easy, you're like, I don't want to use that. I mean, I'm going to, like, cause that much damage on this guy. I just feel like that's a cheat. You know, you're cheesing it, you know. But, you know, so I think this one can kind of fall into that category, because literally you pick up a lightsaber, he's like, oh, or... what was that one dude? Ochi, right? Wasn't it Ochi's dagger? Didn't she use it with that as well? And she's a lot of bad things happened with this thing. And she was able to figure it all out. And, you know, so I almost think you could use it as a tool to tell stories, which I think is almost lazy too, you know? So maybe we're going a little too far out of like the universe. But from a storytelling perspective, I think you could use that as a shortcut, and I don't necessarily like that.
I'm good with it right there, and I agree with kind of what you're saying, that it can feel Well, like a shortcut, like you said, almost. Mm-hmm. Like a plot-telling device that's just kind of right. inserted, perhaps. Telekinesis. Now, this is one that feels somewhat building block-ish, like kind of basic, but also can be cool. Like, force reflexes is like, okay, like, yeah, everyone has that. You're going to use it in everything. Telekinesis, there is a optic to that that is cool. Like, I'm making right. a boulder float. I'm pulling an X-Wing out of the swamps of Dagobah. Like, there is a cool factor to that that exists. Right. I don't know, the iconicness of this one, because for me, I know the image is of Rey, I think, lifting boulders. To me, when I think of telekinesis, I think of Luke and Yoda on Dagobah, like teaching him to lift the X-Wing out of the swamp. So there is an iconicness to this one for me. I don't know if I would go quite so high as... I mean, I could see someone putting it on S just because this feels like the original cool force ability, like making things float. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I could be talked into kind of a range of different tiers with this one. What are you thinking on this one here?
I think the coolness factor definitely will carry this particular one up higher up the ranks. And for that, you know, in that same thought, I mean, yeah. So A, I think it at least is A because of that. And it's because, you know, the you know, we talk about building blocks of a force push or a force pull, the reflexes, things like that. Like you said, this one has, you know, a visual aspect to it that those don't. And because of that, you know, is it iconic enough to make it to S? I mean, if you look at what we have there now, Force Lightning, Force Choke, and yeah, I would put something like telekinesis up there as well. But
it's
only
more iconic
to
than everything on the A tier, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. So I think the, you know, how we talked at the beginning about, you know, we have to be able to determine the grade based off of like the coolness and the effectiveness or the essentialness of it. Well, we know it's essential. We know it's pretty cool. Let's put it on S.
All right. I'm cool with S. I like that. I like that.
Where would we put it on S, though?
I feel like it's so foundational. So it's probably the most widely used of those three that we have on S between Force Lightning and Force Choke and telekinesis. Because it's kind of also more of like a generic thing that every Force user does and has, it doesn't have like the notable instance iconicness. It kind of just has a general iconicness.
Sure, yeah.
Whereas Force Lightning, you're like, oh, Sidious. And with Force Choke, you're like, oh, Vader. You don't really have that with telekinesis. So I'm inclined to maybe say bottom of S tier.
Yeah, I think I'd be fine with that too, yeah.
Okay. We've got two more. This one is one of my favorite, personal favorites. Yeah. So I think I will be too biased in my selection for Jedi Mind Trick. Partially because I love Liam Neeson. He's one of my favorite actors. And he's, you know, apart from Sir Alec Guinness in the original, when he's, you know, saying to the stormtroopers, you don't need to see any identification. Right. The other instance of this.
Yeah. These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Right. And then Liam Neeson, I guess I referenced him first because he's the image we have here on the video version of the podcast. When he's talking to Watto in Phantom Menace. And he's telling him, like, credits will do fine. Right. Which, honestly, is kind of ironic a little bit because it doesn't really work in that scene.
Right.
But this to me is such an iconic force ability. And probably even more so than that, I would say that it's the only ability where you're not influencing your surroundings or perceiving the surroundings because you are influencing another person.
Right.
The rest of these, you're influencing like the environment, or you're doing something to the environment, or sensing something in the environment, I guess I would say. This one, because it's psychological, it almost, for me, puts it up another notch. But like I said, I think I'm going to be too biased, because I think I would want to put this on S tier because it involves the mind, but I could be talked into putting it lower than that.
I always wondered about this one, because mind trick in itself, it's a trick, you know? That doesn't sound very Jedi. You know, I've always had some issues with this particular ability, because that doesn't sound like something that sounds more like a dark user would use, a dark side user would use, and but it's called Jedi mind trick, so I just wanted to point that out there. But because of that, I feel like you could just have you know these strong, and I think the iconicness again, I think this is huge. These aren't the droids you're looking for. That's everywhere. You know what I mean? Like that, if you know Star Wars, that's one of the things you know about Star Wars, is that, you know.
Yeah.
One of the early things too. So I think it really goes up there as far as like the brand of Star Wars. It's one of those things that you just know. Like that's one of those big things, you know. So I think we, you know, so because of that, I think I would put that no lower than A. But would I put it on S?
I like what you're saying about the brand. Like if you asked a non-Star Wars fan, name one Force ability, this is arguably the one they would name. They wouldn't maybe know it's called a Jedi mind trick, but they would say, oh, you know, when Obi-Wan tricks those guys in the white armor.
Yeah, right.
You know, when he tells them these aren't the droids. You're right. This is like infused with like the pop culture of Star Wars. Right. I was gonna say A, but I'm kind of leaning towards the bottom of S now that you said that.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I was leading, because of, you know, like no lower than A. But I think S, as far as the importance of this particular ability, just in Star Wars, I think is pretty huge. Although we probably don't see it as often as some of the others. Mm-hmm. You kind of always know, though. You always know that any Jedi can kind of pull that out, you know, and just be like,
right.
Oh, I'm thinking of like Luke in Jabba's palace. He does that,
right?
You know, and so like maybe there isn't a ton of times where you really remember it, but one of the times that you really do remember it is when Obi-Wan does it. At the beginning of New Hope.
And they even use it with Luke in the Return of the Jedi as the first signal that he is more powerful than he was in episode 5. Because he's talking to Bib Fortuna and he's like, "You'll take me to Jabba now." And immediately people are like, "Oh, he's doing the Obi-Wan thing. He's more powerful than he used to be." So it's like a signal in that episode that Luke has grown in the Force. Anyways, it's kind of a side tangent. But yeah, I like it at the bottom of S personally.
Okay.
All right. I put
this one on purpose.
I was wondering if you put this last on purpose, because this is obviously like, at least I'm not aware of any other instance of this. I mean, certainly, obviously not in the movies or TV shows. Mm-hmm. Perhaps there is in the Star Wars literature since the release of Rise of Skywalker, but it's dyad connection. Now, right off the bat, I know I'm going to have a hard time with this one, because
yeah.
It doesn't really strike me as like a Force ability per se. It's kind of like, I guess it's kind of, well, no, I was going to say it's kind of like Force reflexes, but at least with that one, I feel like I like trained to do it. You know what I mean? The dyad connection one just kind of exists between Rey and Kylo, and obviously there's only one instance of it. I was even reading more on Star Wars Wiki, like, okay, what exactly is a Force dyad? And it just, you know, it basically just describes the plot of Rise of Skywalker. It's like two Force sensitive beings share a unique Force bond. They're one in the Force. Their power is strong as life itself. These individuals forming the dyad share a connection that crosses time and space, and so you see them literally handing physical objects to each other through time or through space.
Space, yeah.
And there's part of me that if I want to remove this entirely from Rise of Skywalker, well, my first thing I would say is, oh my gosh, that is so overpowered.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it is something that's like a really strong ability, just on the optics of it. This one is going to be hard for me because, you know, episode 9, far more than any other Disney Star Wars film, is my least favorite. And the dyad connection thing just felt it was hard for me walking out of the theater after episode 9. Like we said off the top of the podcast on December 20th, 6 years ago, I left the theater with, I think I've told this story at least twice before on the podcast, but I left the theater with my dad, and I think my brother and maybe even my sister were with me. And they all like Star Wars, but they're obviously not like super fans or anything like that. And they could tell that I was really disappointed.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, what's wrong? You didn't like the movie? And I was like, no. And so this is one of the main things I remember complaining about. I was like, they can just hand stuff to each other through the Force, yeah, like when they're not even on the same planet now. I mean, you know, Force projection is one thing. Like, it's a projection. It's not physically there, technically.
Yeah, right.
This is like you are physically handing an object from one planet to another because of this thing called a dyad in the Force, which didn't exist before this moment. And so basically all this to say, my ramble is to say, this is the only time that this has ever happened. It's a one-time instance. We're considering it a Force ability when really it just kind of felt like a plot device, sort of. I don't know. I am going to have a really tough time ranking this one, so I'm mostly curious to hear what you have to say.
We said the same with psychometry, where super overpowered ability. I mean, this almost sounds like a Force, like, variant almost, right? Like, either, you know, this something that just happened, you know, this one time, or very rarely, that we have only seen it in live action, at least in Rise of Skywalker. But because of, like, how it'd be one thing if it introduced something that makes a little bit more sense in, like, just the usual life of a Jedi, of a Sith. Like, you're going to run into people that are hurt, so we'll give you Force healing. You know, so I'm like, okay, you know, that's a useful thing. But not necessarily something like, oh, you're in battle over there, you need a weapon? Got you. You know, and then she does the thing with the lightsaber, and then he brings it out, you know, whatever. So where you call it like a plot device, I would say it's the same thing too, where it just... Again, you could just make that lazy. Now, I will say that the ability to kind of like talk to each other in the way that they did in Last Jedi, in Rise of Skywalker, I kind of liked that. I'm not gonna lie, like that was actually just a cool way to not only show you like how they're communicating, but even gave the directors a way to kind of like get creative with it, you know, because if you remember in Last Jedi, you know, she would be in one place, he would be one place, they would like be looking at each other but never in the same scene, which, you know, just like that stuff. It was like that type of cinematography, that the way they directed it, I thought was actually pretty cool. And even to the point when they were fighting on Rise of Skywalker, where, you know, they were fighting, she was on one planet, he was on his ship, I think. And they, you know, they hit something and, or no, I think she was on his ship and he was on the planet looking for her. And he hits some, they both hit something. I think it's Vader's mangled helmet. It falls. And so that's all cool. Like, I'm trying to think of just like the way they used it. And what I'm really doing is trying to show you, like, you know, how cool it can be. Although it can be a device, a plot device for it, I thought the way they executed it, it wasn't actually that terrible. Now, unfortunately, with that, how overpowered this is, then you come to the end where you're just like, okay, he needs a lightsaber. She's got two. So, he could help that out. And you're just like, well, I guess if I was okay with, because, you know, sometimes you do that with Star Wars, right? You're like, well, if I'm okay with this, I have to be okay with that, you know? So, And I think that's where I ended up being by the time that last scene came, you know? And I'm like, okay, well, I was cool with the fighting. I was cool with the Force time calls. So I have to be able to be okay with this, you know? But that doesn't mean that it doesn't, like, give the directors an out, or the writers an out, to be like, okay, but by the way, you know, they're able to do this, so whenever they need each other, they could just kind of call each other for that, you know. So I think the idea of the dyad is unique. Obviously, it's the one time that we've seen it, but it can look like it's a plot device, but it can also give some pretty, you know, impressive shots in throughout the movies. So take that into consideration, I guess, when thinking about it, because obviously, you know, when we point at something at Star Wars, we either think good or bad, you know, like that's almost like what we always, that's how like Star Wars fans think, like, do I like this, do I not like this? It doesn't have to be so black and white. It can, you live in the gray a lot. So I think it's okay if something can have cool features and also have some bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely cool. I think it's definitely something that is cool. I think, and I was thinking about this as you were mentioning it, or kind of reflecting, and one of my thoughts was, I think part of my reason that it's hard to get behind dyad connection is that I don't, because it's a one-time instance thing, right? It's all of these other things happen multiple times, at least multiple times, if not all the time. Because this is a one-time instance thing, there is a uniqueness to it. And I think my mind goes to, well, I want to understand that uniqueness. Why does it exist as a singular thing? And for me, that's maybe a bigger critique of the sequel trilogy, but like I don't know why they're a dyad in the Force. They just they just are, and you're kind of like, oh, how did that happen? They're like, well, they just are. They're both strong, and they're both dyad. They're a dyad in the Force. I think there's a quote in the movie where it's like, I think Kylo says it, where he's like, "I'm the son of Vader, or I'm the grandson of Vader. You're the granddaughter of Palpatine," and you're like, "Okay, so that makes you a dyad?" Like I don't.
Yeah, right.
There didn't feel like there was justification or a why behind it. So I guess I'm struggling with, do I treat it as this singular thing, because it is, it's only happened once.
Right.
Or do I treat it like a Force ability, because it is cool, right? It is, right. I don't think anyone would deny that. So it's hard. If I'm ranking it on the first thing, I think I go D. If I'm ranking it on like just a coolness factor, I mean, I would put it on the same plane as like Force healing and Force projection, like things that are new canonically. Maybe Force healing was canon prior to the showing in Rise of Skywalker
in a couple days.
But I think I put this kind of in the same camp as those, like the coolness factor, it would be on that plane. Having said that, I could get behind putting it in A if there is a caveat of if I could like pretend that it's in D.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, I mean, you know, we kind of mentioned even with like psychometry where that seems so overpowered, but also kind of a plot device, which is, I think, one of your arguments here for the dyad connection, because it's so new. So how would you feel putting it at either the top of C or the bottom of B? Because of all of that, because it does have the coolness factor, like I said, but just the way they use it, I thought was cool until the very end. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Because, I mean, obviously, if you're going to create something like that, you have to have, like, kind of a big ending to it, which I get. You know what I mean? Like, there's a purpose to why this exists. And that was why, was that, like, end scene, the end fight with him and the Knights of Ren. So I could see where it looked like it could have been a good story, but I just don't feel it hit like they wanted it to. So that's what I propose, maybe bottom of B, top of C for that.
I like top of C.
Okay.
Also, speaking of Knights of Ren, more criminally underused characters, but...
Yep, they were so cool.
That is as a side at this point, but that completes our Star Wars Force Abilities rankings. Once again, we will have a list of these with Dyad Connection there at the top of C, ending our list off. We will have kind of a blank slate that you can fill out if you want. That'll be available in the show notes of today's episode as well. You can rank these 20 Force Abilities. And let us know in the comments as well, by the way. Where did we mess up? Where would you have changed? This one also particularly feels like one of the more subjective tier lists we've done. So I could see someone saying, like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't know, Force Barrier is easily a D tier. I don't know.
Right, yeah. Up,
but this one is so subjective that I could see there being a wide variety
of opinions. I think you and I normally line up pretty close with, you know, our thoughts on things. It would be fun to have someone else come in and just be like, nope, I would have put that on D right away.
Yeah. I think that is one thing. We've done so many of these tier lists together that we almost know kind of where the other person wants to rank something.
If it's sequel trilogy related, I know it's going lower and lower on yours.
Hey, to be fair, I don't know if I told you this. I watched like this video essay on why the Force. We included part of it on the hot take of from last week's episode. That a video essay on why the Force Awakens is overrated. And I think after watching that video essay, I actually like The Last Jedi more than The Force Awakens now.
Yeah. I mean, I've liked Last Jedi over that too. I'd be interested in watching that whole thing too. I mean, that's what's great about, you know, the Star Wars fandom is that they are very vocal. So sometimes it's good to, maybe it's sometimes good to go out of your comfort level, see what other people are saying, and maybe you agree with them, maybe you don't. You know, who cares? You know, it's fine. But, you know, just to be able to see what other people say sometimes is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, once again, let us know your thoughts on the Force Abilities. Also, we had to select from like a really long list. So if there were ones that didn't make our list that you're like, what the heck, they didn't include... Oh, I don't know. Just as an example, what do we have here? We had several we didn't choose. Force Cloak, because apparently that's one that Ahsoka uses in Rebels. They're like, oh my gosh, they didn't put Force Cloak on their list. let us know that down in the comments as well. But this is episode 119, meaning next episode will be episode 120. And part of kind of the life circumstances surrounding our transition from episode 119 to 120 is that I just bought a house. My wife and I just bought a house, and pretty excited about that. Moved over our first bit of stuff today. And so I believe if all goes to plan, we should still be on our normal schedule and have our next episode 2 weeks from today. That would be September by that point, but on our typical rotating schedule of an every other Tuesday live recording, meaning September 2nd would be our next podcast episode. But keep up to date with us on the socials, on the YouTube community tab, to check in regards to whether that will or will not be happening. But plan right now is to be on the same schedule, September 2nd with the move, and I'll be in a different recording area, so that'll be kind of fun, and I'll get to maybe show off my new recording area that I'm certain will have lots of Star Wars merch and memorabilia.
Is
in,
it a,
so.
You got a your own set room, or you got like a corner in the basement? What should we expect?
We're going corner of the basement vibes with nice. This with this new recording space. So I'm probably going to start setting that up the day after tomorrow, actually. But
nice.
Stay tuned for the next episode, and we hope to catch you then. As some last reminders for today, if you are not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout channel on YouTube, definitely hit that subscribe button. Like I said off the top of the podcast, we are less than 10 subscribers away from 500. Get your mom to subscribe. Get your grandma to subscribe. Tell your second cousin's brother's aunt that they need to subscribe. We're trying to get to that 500 mark, and we'd appreciate it very much. All those of you who are subscribed, thank you for being subscribers. As another reminder, you can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them on the podcast. The pod is findable wherever you get your podcasts, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms, leave a 5-star review. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also allows it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We are on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X, at Hoth Hangout on those platforms, and live streaming the episodes on Twitch as well at Hoth Hangout over there. Additionally, the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server is down in the show notes of today's episode as well. Joey, what do you think about our final list here? How are you feeling having gone through all of our Force abilities today?
It's always fun to do these tier lists. They're silly, but they're also pretty fun. They give us a good device to talk about some things that maybe we wouldn't really ever talk about. Who talks about Force abilities all that much? So just to be able to talk a little bit more about the lore and Star Wars, give our examples and reasons why things are cool, things aren't cool. I think it's always a good time. But lastly, good luck, Ben, on the move. I know it can get kind of stressful, but you can get through it. And yeah, we'll be waiting for you. Can't wait to see the new space. And yeah, good luck to you and Mariah, and I hope everything continues to go well with you all.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I can't imagine moving into the actual house will be as stressful as the down payment and mortgage and lending process was. So I'm hopeful at least that it won't be.
Welcome,
but I'll
welcome
let you...
to adulting, Ben, that you're officially an adult now.
Yeah. But I'll let you know next time on the Hoth Hangout podcast how stressful that moving process was or wasn't. But shout out to George Lucas, shout out to Dave Filoni, and of course a shout out to producer Gibbo today, who is in the S tier, the top tier of the producers, the top tier producer of the Hoth Hangout podcast. We appreciate you very much, Gibbo, and shout out to you for producing the graphics for today's episode, by the way, as well. Those things that if you are doing the rankings of your own tier maker, guess who made those? Producer Gibbo. So
that's right.
We appreciate you all so much for listening to this episode. Again, tune in next time, likely in 2 weeks' time, for the next episode of the podcast, episode 120. And thanks so much again for listening or watching today. If you're watching live or watching after the fact, we'll catch you in the next one. And until then, may the Force be with you.